I want y'all to notice something right away up here. Look at these chairs. Y'all notice something about these chairs up here since I left them up here today? They're full of Scott's stuff. Notice they're not full of the preacher stuff. I just wanted to say that. Take your Bibles. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The title of the sermon is So. So. Not so, S-O. So. So, C. Are you saved tonight? Chapter 11, verse 1. Are you saved tonight? Okay, so there's a few people saved. So this message will not apply to you unless you're saved. Salvation is a free gift given to you by Jesus Christ at the death, burial, and resurrection. And anytime you want the benefits of this message, you'll have to receive that. Amen? If you're a born-again believer, this is going to be kind of like a call to service on a Sunday night. A call to service. This is a time when King Solomon was the wisest man in the world. I thought I was. No, I was kidding. Every man in here say amen. Now listen. All right, so King Solomon's the wisest man in the world, and if you look at his early writings, you can tell that he was very innocent. The first thing God said, all right, King Solomon, you're a new king, you're right after King David, you're blessed, no wars, no problems, no issues. What do you want? Whew. He made the smartest prayer that any man could ever pray. He said, give me godly wisdom to lead your people. And with that prayer, he was the most prosperous person. Amen? Because there is no real prosperity without true wisdom. Amen? So I wished I would, sometimes, you know, you want this or this or this. Say, God, give me the wisdom. Because if you get the wisdom, you can have all the other things. But that was early in his life. Then you get to the middle part. And then in Ecclesiastes, you're getting to the end, where he married a lot of strange women and had a lot of concubines from other countries who worship false idols, and he built them temples, and he's nearing the end of his run, but guess what? He's got a lot of bitterness because he's strayed from God's path. Man, I love reading the Bible. You know why? Because the smartest man and the strongest man were both not perfect. Hallelujah, praise God. Man, every once in a while as a church, when I say something really good, y'all go, yeah, that's right. Because doesn't that help you though? Because one thing demands us to be some super star Christian who never messes up, but the strongest man and the smartest man both messed up. Golly, I'm glad of that. I'm not glad that they messed up, but I'm nowhere near the strongest man, and I'm nowhere near the smartest man. So therefore, there's still room for me to mess up, amen, and God still give me His grace. Hallelujah. Praise God, preacher. All right, so I've set the table for where we're at, but even a wise man with a little bit of bitterness, with a little bit of frustration, at the end of his run can say some stuff that's flat out amazing. Is that true? Have you ever been having a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad year, bad decade, okay? And still some wisdom come out of your mouth? You're like, all right, I still got something good in there. That's what King Solomon does here in 11. And listen, you're going to hear some kind of repetitive in this, but I don't care. Hopefully not too much repetitive, but there's some stuff in here that's going to knock your socks off and hopefully puts them back on. Amen. Chapter 11, cast thy bread upon the waters. Is that what y'all are reading? Okay, good. I hope it was in the right chapter. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Verse 2, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Cast thy bread upon the waters. What he's saying there is, sow. Put so as much seed as you can. Put as many of those cakes in the boat and send them out and put them as many places you can put them because they're going to go bad. Hallelujah. No, you're the cakes are going to spoil. They're going to go on ruin. Listen, we put them on the boat, send them out, give them to 7, give them to 8, give them to 100, give them to as many people as you can give them to before they spoil. Golly, guys, listen. Share your faith. Share Jesus Christ. Share. To how many? 7 people. What, the number of completion? Number 8. Give them to the people that need healing. Amen? Number 8 is a healing. That's on the 8th day that you were born, after you were born the 8th day, that's why they did circumcision on the 8th day. You got more healing principles in your body than any other day of your life. Yeah, this blew y'all away, that all that knowledge I had. But as soon as they done the circumcision, the body went our way and it started healing in automatic, in great power of healing. Well, God says, guess what? There's people out there that are completely lost. They need Jesus. And there's some people out there that are completely sick and they need Jesus. And you got to dole it out before it spoils. What? My seed spoils? Yes. Not God's seed. Your time. Your ability. Your time on this earth. Hey, guess what? Some of you right now are going, wait a minute, I'm running out of time. I don't care if you say that. You're not out. Some of you need to say, you know what? Not the old me, not the middle me. Today me, I'm going to serve better. I don't have to. Listen, people are always waiting. Now, that's one thing to do to the preacher that kind of drives me nuts. I'm waiting for it. Let it settle in. Some of y'all are going to craft your letters and notes and emails and even, by the Lord, if you come by and see me. What do you want me to do, preacher? I can give you a million tasks. But only God can give you a calling. Amen? I can give you a million things to do. But if I give you a million things to do and God is not in them, you are going to be miserable, bored, mad, frustrated, hurt. But if God gives it to you, you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied to do it. And you'll want to do it again, no matter what the outcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah, preacher. But what he says here is, so take the time you have left and use it for the glory of God. Send that seed out. Listen to the end of verse 1. Y'all going to love this. After many days, listen to this, for thou shalt find it after many days. What does that mean, preacher? You're going to run into somebody that you sowed into, that received one of those cakes. Amen? That received some of that seed. Somebody, you're going to run into people that know you for one thing and one thing only. I was one of the people that was needing of the seed or the cakes, and I got them. And you know what? It made all the difference. The people that criticize, the people that are mad at you, the people you didn't satisfy, that's one thing, but that one soul, hallelujah. Is there anybody in here that ever ministered to anybody that got saved? Hallelujah. Guess what? It's all worth it. Amen? It's all worth it because when they're sitting there going, I got the seed, more than likely that person is going to reproduce the seed. Save people. Tell other people how to get saved. That's what we do. Amen? And guess what? It's good to run into people that you've ministered to for twofold reason. Anybody want them? Twofold reason? One, it's encouraging when you see them. Sometimes they feed you. Whew. Sometimes they encourage you. Sometimes they come and sow back into your life and you're depleted. Saving myself again. There's been times when I've been hungry, when my fields are bare, when I'm going through a winter season. Amen? Anybody ever went through a winter season here? Golly bum. Have you ever went through a winter season when everybody else is going through spring and summer? Whew. Everybody else is having a harvest. Everybody else is blooming, and you're sitting over there going, I ain't got nothing to show. God, I wish I could preach in here, Mark. Man, I love God as much as you love God. I pray as much as you pray to God. I seek God just as much as you seek God. But my gosh, my tree is empty. My leaves are gone. I am bare. Can I give you some help right there on that, though? God's doing more work on you in your winter season than you are in your summer and spring season. You know why? Because guess what? On that winter season, it's just you and God. God, Ed, if you don't start giving me an amen or a shout every once in a while, I'm going to come run through your little patch right back there and just plow it up. You hear me? You hear me? I'm serious, because sometimes in your spring and sometimes in your summer, when you're out giving everybody, guess what? You're giving everything away, and everybody thinks you're getting blessed and having the time of your life, and literally you're helping everybody else, but there's nothing in return. So you're writing checks, but there are no deposits. God, y'all better hear what I'm saying. In a winter season, God ain't doing nothing but making deposits into your body, into your mind, into your life. The sap is on the inside, and He's building it up in you, and nobody can see it because you ain't got a leaf, one, or a fruit, or nothing. But then somebody will come along. Whew. Somebody you've ministered to, somebody you've told Jesus about, somebody you've encouraged, and they'll roll up beside you and say, man, you know, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. You know how many times, listen, I don't look for it, I don't need it, but listen, there's been times when you minister into somebody's life that are going through some times that you didn't think nothing would reach them because they're hurting so bad, and they come and say, hey, you helped me today? Amen? Or one of those people come back through a season that's so bad, and they come and they put their arm around you and they say, hey, I love you, preacher. Keep preaching. Or, Lord have mercy, if you sit down and somebody gives, hey, I got a word for you. Has anybody ever dropped a word on you? Golly, I love when somebody do that to you. Hey, I think about this. Will you look at this word? Amen. And you get it and you're sitting there reading, you go, my God, that's speaking to my soul. Amen. Amen, that's speaking to my soul. I've got a few. Guess what? I've got a few. You've got a few. Listen, they come back in that season. Amen? You never know where it's going. You never know where the seed went. You don't know where it's going. Give it to everybody liberal. Give it to 7. Give it to 8. Amen? All right, verse 3. I love this part. I've been wanting to preach this ever since I was, before they called me to preach, but I forgot where it was sometimes. Does it make sense? Because I heard some people preach this all wrong and use it all wrong. And I said, one day, God, when I'm a little bit older preacher and I can handle a message like that, boy, I want to drive that baby. And guess what? We're driving her tonight for the first time. Amen. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Listen, I hate to tell you this. He refers to this in Proverbs. This ain't it yet. Proverbs 25:14. He said, listen to this. They are clouds, those that are supposed to have a gift. Hello. Those that are supposed to have a gift of preaching and teaching and supposed to have the gift of God. Guess what? If they, he goes, some of them are not gifts of God. They are clouds without rain. Whew. I hate a cloud without rain on a hot day. I know, I'm sorry, I'm preaching about rain right now. In this second, we don't have that issue. But if you've ever been in a drought and needed rain, one of the worst things you could ever see is a big dark cloud coming that never drops one drop. Amen? You'll sit there and watch it pass and be aggravated because you said you're an imposter, you're a hypocrite, you're a liar. Amen? Because you were supposed to bring some help and you didn't bring the help. Amen? But guess what it says right here is if you're a cloud full of rain, you're going to rain, baby. I liked that when I preached it to myself better and it sounded in here. Amen? If you're going to be a cloud full of rain, you're going to rain. Whew. Don't tell me you got Jesus and you ain't got no Jesus in you. Don't tell me you got to preach if you ain't got no preach in you. You ain't got no teaching, you got no teaching in you. Praise God, if you got it, you got it. And you can't hold it back. I don't know a preacher that cannot preach. I don't know a teacher who can't teach. I don't know somebody that loves Jesus who won't let it go every once in a while. They get a case of the, I can't help it. I'm sorry if I'm ruining your program. I'm sorry if I'm messing up your time. But I'm about to let her rip, tater chip. That's it. You're not, hey, listen, you can't, if you got it, you got it. Don't tell people you got it. Let them have it. Amen? Rain all over them. If you rain all over them, they can say anything. They can say anything they want to say about you, but they can't say they're dry. No. They can say anything they want to say. I don't like him. I don't like what he says. I don't like the way he did it. I don't like this. I don't like his personality. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like his hair. I don't like it. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I can't come. I am right. It's raining all over me. Amen. He does love Jesus. Amen. Give him a chance. He's going to tell us. Amen. Y'all ready for this next part? I've been wanting to preach this since I was 20, 31. Amen. Forget how old I am sometimes. Melissa has to remind me. Amen. Where are we at? Okay. Listen to this. Upon the earth, and if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Whoo! When I was a young... Somebody said, well, wherever you fall, that's where you lay. That's salvation right there. If you sin, fall in sin, you fall, that's where you're headed. You're going straight to hell. I'm like, you're a numbskull. You are a flat-out numbskull. I didn't say that out loud. I just sat there and thought to myself, that ain't right. And then you know what? I'd hear it from time to time in church and in Sunday schools. People bring it up. Wherever the tree falls, that's where it lays. Well, duh. Duh. Well, let me tell you something. There's two kinds of trees. Amen? So you're worried about where the tree's falling. My gosh. Sorry. You're worried about where the tree's falling. I was worried more about where the tree was standing. Amen? See, I've seen trees fall in the forest, in the deepest part of the forest that nobody owned. And I've seen peach trees fall in the middle of an orchard. Amen? Guess what? That peach tree, as long as it was upright, was serving its master. Amen? The farmer said, that's peach tree. Row 6, 3 deep in. She produces about 100-fold every year, 60-fold every year, or 30-fold every year. If I prune her right, she'll produce more. If I don't prune her right, she comes back a little bit. But she's a producer. Wind came in. My God, storm came in. It blew through. She went over. Yep, she was producing on the day that she died. If she was headed this way, guess what? She was producing fruit towards the north or towards the south. But praise God, she fell in my field. If you're lost and you're out in the middle of the wilderness in the wild and you ain't got no master, you ain't got no leader, you ain't got no farmer, you ain't got no father, your tree falls, you fall in the way that you fall. Whatever you're producing, it wasn't producing for God. Does that help anybody in here? I've been wanting to preach that ever since I was a young preacher. Amen? And they'd come in here, you lose your salvation. I mean, if you make a mistake, listen, praise God, I don't like, listen, I'm going to correct that while I'm here. I don't like my sin. I don't like sin. I don't think somebody should. You're not in the will of God. You're not saved. If you think, if you get up in the morning and say, I can sin and do whatever I want to and God don't care, there's something wrong with you. Matter of fact, you need to get saved. Amen? But if you think there is such a thing as sinless perfection upon this earth, you need to come up here and get your mind right with God. Amen, preacher. Boy, boy, howdy. We've said a lot, haven't we? You can either agree with it or disagree with it. I don't care. It's just biblically true. Amen? What God is saying is give your very best. Give your very best until the day that you drop. And wherever you drop, that's where your end is. But if you don't drop, He's expecting you to produce some fruit. Amen? Listen to this. Here's my idea of when I die. Listen, y'all, I don't know if this is going to happen. I'm starting to get a little bit more mature in my life. But I don't know if this is going to happen. But if God would grant me my greatest gift in my life, I want to die falling forward. Amen? I want to die doing what I can for God in whatever capability is, and I hope I don't want to die falling. Somebody needs to write this down. I don't want to die falling backwards. one of the biggest things in my life. I got in my mind, here's two things that I do. I want to finish well. And I want to finish well because I've told other people about Jesus. I don't want anybody to ever call and say, "That old Kevin, he's caught up in a scandal." I ain't never want to be. The only things I want people to say is, "Where's Kevin? He's preaching here or he's preaching there." Amen? He's preaching here or he's preaching there. That's it. I guard myself because of that. I guard myself. And you know what? I let God guard me on that. Because you know what I tell my main prayer? Say, "God, let me finish well, and God, let me run well." When you want to run well, praise God, you know what you don't pay attention to? All the stuff on the sidelines. Hallelujah. Preacher, that's good. Whew, I felt like preaching when I got here tonight. Amen. Verse 4. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Amen? I want y'all to get that. This ain't regular farming. We got some farmers in this church. You have to pay attention to the weather. You do. But when it comes to sowing the seed of God, you don't. Listen, you read the parable of the sower. That dude has more seed than anybody. He sows it. That's what it looks like to me. Stony ground, thorny ground, no ground, good ground. He's just throwing it. He's throwing it into the wind. He's throwing it into the rain. He's throwing it in the morning. He's throwing it at night. She's throwing in the morning, and she's throwing at night. Because some of you women in here are going, "You better get to work." You too. Amen? You too. Don't give an excuse of when you're going to do it. "Well, it's just, I just don't know if God's in this." God's in it. He's got more involved in your salvation than you do. He's got more invested in your salvation than you do. He wants to bless more than you do. He's ready every single time if you're ready. Praise God. Get to work. So, no matter what. "Well, the winds are just not blowing my way. My family members, they're just not going to hear me." That didn't say that. So anyway. That'd be like sowing into the wind. Sow into the wind. You never know when the wind's going to catch and throw one back at them. Amen? Listen to this. I hate to tell you this more than anybody else. Guess what? Most of the time, if you'll take an inventory of when you got saved and how you got saved, praise God, it wasn't the first time, the second time, third time, or fourth time that somebody told you about God that the increase came. But praise God, you can remember just about every time somebody did. Whew. Just about every time somebody that God told to come and see me or come to witness to me, you know what I remember? I could blow up and act mad and act tough and say whatever I wanted to say. When they left, it was hard to go to sleep. Hard to deal with it. You know why? Because I knew, man, God sent them. That's God dealing with me again. Amen? I love this. Y'all ready? Verse 5, "As thou knowest not what is in the spirit, and how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works God who maketh them all." Knowest not the works of God who maketh... You know what he just said? You don't know anything about how I work. Woo! Here's what he said. He gave a real good example. He said, "Do you know there's a baby in a mother's womb? Do you know how he puts all that together?" Yeah. "Do you know, the timing of this? I mean, they can go and they can show you stages, but if you didn't have technology and you could sit there and go, "How's God putting all that together?" I don't know. But is he? Huh? Is he? When a seed lands in a fertile area and it begins to grow, is it growing? And is it gaining? Is it gaining and gaining and gaining until it becomes a little human being? Amen. Okay. At conception, it becomes human. Some of y'all are sitting there going, "What did you just say?" But I want you to get this. Listen to this. Praise God. You can't look into it. It's happening. Listen, the gospel seed is the same. It's you sow it. When it hits the right ground, you might not even be able to tell it for a long while. Amen? That's why I gave this illustration. You can't see the baby for 9 months. You can't usually tell when somebody's pregnant for 3 or 4 months. Amen? They just have to tell you some things have changed. No. Some things have changed. Some things have changed. Amen? I'm not the same. Some of y'all women need to say amen every once in a while. Something's changed. You can't tell it. Them and they can't tell it. But something's changed. And it's working on the inside. Christianity is an inside job. Man, I love when people say, well, I'm going to get better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to read more. I'm going to try to go. Listen, don't try to do anything. Surrender to Jesus Christ, and guess what? He'll do an inside job on you. That first 3 months, you couldn't see nothing. That fourth month, all of a sudden, you start to show a little bit. Amen? Not long, you'll be a full-grown Christian. People will be saying, man, he used to be, or she used to be, but now she's not. Amen? And then you'll say the same thing. How'd it happen? Oh, no. See, you got in there. Things started changing. Next thing you know, I was born again. I was born again. I know a day when I surrendered. I know a time I said. I can remember I went here. I was at this place. But I really can't tell you how the transfer. I can't tell you how I transferred. I don't know what made it happen. Somebody go, how do you know that you've been saved? Because I'm not the same. I tried to be the same since I really got saved. Hey, I made a profession of salvation up to August 28 of 04. I could do whatever I wanted to do. But something happened when I repented and asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I could no longer do what I wanted to do. It wasn't against my will, it was against His. I had an inside agent. I've told this so many times here. I've probably told it so many times anywhere. I had a still small voice that was a still small voice, but it sounded like he was screaming out of a bullhorn. Kevin wants to do this. Kevin wants to do that. Kevin wants this. Still small voice says, no, we want to do something else. Totally opposite. I want to go down here. No, I want to lie. No, you want to tell the truth. I want to go look at that material. No, you don't. You want to read this material. Who are you, stranger? Amen. But now I've been doing it for a while. My still small voice. Y'all come on. My still small voice said, let's read a while. Let's pray a while. Let's worship a while. Let's see. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then every once in a while I got this crazy dude in the back. Y'all ready? Hey, let me drive. Oh, I guess y'all ain't got that guy. That's how crazy it sounds, Ed. Hey, let me drive! Drive what? Everything. Every thought, every temptation, everything. And you're looking, you're crazy. I ain't feeding you. Why would I let you drive? Hey, never mind. Amen. Hey, man, preacher, that's pretty good. Verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, and thou knowest not whether shall prosper either or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Y'all see that? Do it in the morning, do it at night. So. If I could tell you anything else, if you're truly born again, you'll never regret the people that you sow into. You'll never regret that. The only thing you're going to regret as a Christian is the time that you didn't serve God. The time that you gave excuse, the time that you gave reason, the time that you... Now listen, I know everybody's got to live. I know everybody's got to go to work. I know everybody's got things they can serve. But guess what? God has given you a sphere of influence to operate in. And while you're operating in that sphere of influence, you can choose to serve God or you can choose to serve yourself or the devil. Amen? And when you're serving yourself, you say, and I know the excuse in your mind, you think, well, if I do that, then they're going to do this. Listen, you got to understand God is God and is in control of everything. So, I mean, if you can't serve God in the capacity that you can find, listen, I know sometimes on a job I knew my boundaries. I knew how far I could go. Amen? But I took them all the way to the boundary. Because you know what? When I was lost, I took it all the way to the boundary. Hello? Amen? I used every sick day I had, every vacation day I had. I said everything that I could say before they send you to HR. Huh? Okay, so guess what? As a Christian, I'm going to be in that place. Because all I'm going to get in trouble for is doing the right thing. Because when you're a Christian, you don't steal from the company. You don't lie about your time. You show up when you're supposed to show up. But guess what? If somebody gets in radius and says, I need some help, I say, I know somebody can help you. Amen? I pray for you. Man, Jesus is good for that. Amen? Why do you got joy and nobody else does? We just found out we're working Saturday and Sunday, and you're ticked off. You're not. Why? Because God's good. Amen? I wanted to go do some things. I wanted to go to church, but guess what? If God's got, I'm going to worship Him right here, and guess what? They'll eventually start to see. I won more people in my workplace than probably any other time in my life. You know why? Because I said, you know, if I was going to run for the devil in this place, I'm going to run for God in here. Amen? If you get in trouble for that, hey, get in trouble for it. Amen? Oh, got some of y'all, I know some of you in here looking at me. Well, brother, that's radical. We need more radical Christians today than we've ever needed them before in our history. We're about to lose a country because people won't stand up and say what's right and what's wrong. And it's not the big stuff. It's simple stuff. What a girl is, what a boy is. What a man is, what a woman is. It's simple stuff. What's right and what's wrong. Who you should sleep with, who you shouldn't sleep with. What's legal, what's not legal. What you should drink, what you shouldn't drink. What you should take and what you shouldn't take. Amen? It's not big, complicated stuff. It's so simple. But you know why? It's such an argument and it's a reason why you feel like you can't say certain things is because Christians have been silent for so long. We've been so accommodating to this world that eventually now we can't say anything about anything because then we're going to be haters and we're against everybody and closed-minded. But what we have is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Whoo! Oh, I'm sorry. We just drove all into all this politically incorrect stuff. And how did we get there? Guess what? The Bible's not politically correct. It's just correct. Amen? Verse 7. Truly the light is sweet. Y'all need to get this last part. I want y'all to see it. Truly the light is sweet and pleasant. A pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. Man, how the last 2 days, did y'all get that? Come on, be honest. Did y'all get that the last 2 days? Man, when the sun, man, I walked out on my porch and you're just, I know some of y'all are sarcastic like me. You look up and you go, what is that? What is this large fluorescent thing in the sky? And then right after church today, you walk outside and you almost walk into your car and you're like, well, you almost hear music. You're like, wow. Anybody want to go home? No. Right? Guess what? What? He's saying right here, he said, that's the way you're supposed to be when you see light and you have daylight. That's what somebody that's been shut in or shut up or shut out for so long. Listen, we're every day, listen, when that sun, we got one more day promised. We got one more day to operate for God. We've got the light in our life and a light ahead of us. Listen to verse 8, and I'm going to try to tie them together. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. He boils it down to this. You got more days in the dark. At this life, it comes to an end. You only got so many days on this earth. He said that when the light's up and when the light's on, serve. Because there's a day when your light will go out. Amen? And you're going to go into eternity. Either to heaven or to hell. And listen. Hopefully most of you, all of you, go to heaven. But when we get to heaven, God's going to say, what did you do with the talents and gifts and abilities that I gave you? While the light was on, did you work? Did you share? Did you love? Amen? Listen, just like these last couple of days, it's rained so many days in a row, and you walk out there and you walk in that sunshine, you go, man, I got a day where I can do something outside. You need to wake up every morning and say there's a million, billion people that would trade places with me who are sick, crippled, hurt, locked in, shut in, and they can't go. Praise God, I'm getting up, and I'm going to serve God to the best of my ability. As Scott comes and y'all stand. No, stand, sit. Sit, stay seated.